Thank you, Lord, that you can be known, that you desire to be known by us. As a result of that, we will never be the same. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to just worship you in song. Lord, we think in a future day, the future time, there's going to be millions gathered together praising your name. We look forward to that. Lord, we love you and we thank you for who you are and for what you are doing. I pray this morning now as we've come to the time where we look into your word, that you'll guide and direct my words, that your spirit will take what I share, make it real to us. Help us to live for you, to honor you and to love you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. The fall of the year. What are your priorities? What are those things that are important to you? As we head into another fall, I can hardly believe this year is almost gone. In fact, I could ask, any of you have the priority of doing your Christmas shopping this early? Probably not. Yeah, there's some people in the back that raised their hand. Yes, they are. Very good for you. There'll be a stoning after the service. Oh, goodness. When you think about it, priorities at different times, especially as we come into the fall of the year, we need to reevaluate our priorities. We need to find out what we're putting our time and energy and our effort into. We need to make sure and check it with what God would have us to do. We're going to look today at a group of people that had misplaced priorities. You know what? They're not unlike us. They meant well. They were trying to follow God, but God needed to talk to them about their priorities. So today we're going to look at this group of people and see how we can make sure we can evaluate our priorities. And in the many priorities that we do in our life, where does God fit into that? At what point should he be? And where is he at? We're in a series, and it's entitled, God Wants You. Isn't that good? Isn't that good that God wants you? That he wants you to be a part of his work? He could have done it all on his own, but he chooses to use you and me. God wants you, and I'm going to ask the question, who are you looking out for? As you evaluate priorities in your life, who are you looking out for? Who's number one? Who? The higher priority. We need to talk about this whole series. It's going to be a four-week series. It's going to be four messages that come from the Old Testament. In the year 607, and we studied this recently with the book of Daniel when we did that book. 607, an army came in and destroyed all Jerusalem, took captives 1,100 miles away. They knew they would be in captivity for 70 years. Approximately the year 536, a group of them left and came back to Jerusalem. They came back with high hopes and expectations. They were going to do God's work, and their work was to rebuild the temple. In fact, they had the blessing of the Babylonian Empire to do this. So they came back in the year 536, and they had to get established and kind of set up and organized. But by the year 534, 2 years later, less than 2 years later, all work had stopped on the temple that they were trying to rebuild. For 14 years, nothing happened on that temple. Not a thing took place until God raised up a prophet. Prophet by the name of Haggai. And Haggai is who we're going to look at over the next 4 weeks. He's going to give the people four dated messages. He's going to tell us the exact date and time that he gave them. And he's going to encourage us in this whole area of understanding that God wants you. But the first thing maybe God will have us do today is to evaluate our priorities. We're going to be in Haggai chapter 1, and it's on page 662 in the blue Bibles that are provided for you. And so I would encourage you to take those Bibles out and turn to that page. You know, it might have looked something like this. If you were in the ancient city that was destroyed, for the first couple of years, they had to establish themselves. They had to set up so they could eat. They had to get their houses built for shelter. They had to figure out some kind of security system, things like that. But then they actually began work on the temple. And so they cleared an area. It was a mess. Everything was destroyed. So they cleared an area, and they might have set the first course of bricks in place for that. And so probably it was in a central area where people would have to walk through and walk around. And you can just imagine, as you were going from the market, you would have to step and you'd have to step over that wall. It was only probably about this high. And your kids would jump over the wall with you and they would say, you know, Dad and Mom, this thing has been here for quite a while. Nothing's happened. What is it? And I can assure you some parents may have been embarrassed to say, well, go ask your mother. She'll tell you. Maybe. Or they'd say, you know, it's a temple. Well, how come nothing's been done on it? Well, you know, we started out to do some things on it, but things happen and nothing's taken place. So Haggai comes on the scene. Now, many think, I'm not sure about this, that Haggai may have been around before in the year 607. And he was taken for the 70 years of captivity, and now he's come back. He'd be an old man, probably in his 80s. And what Haggai does is, the first day of the month, we'll find out, is a day of gathering together. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of focusing on the Lord. And it is likely, although we're not sure, that he stood right in the middle of the temple area. And let's see what his message is, and let's see how it applies not only to the people of that day, but for us today. So are you at the book of Haggai? You know, this week it took me like a minute and a half to find the book of Haggai. That's embarrassing to admit for a pastor, but I couldn't find that little thing. In fact, Cindy was out in the office and I said, I can't find the book of Haggai. And so I was admonished, go to Matthew and back up too. How's that? That's how you can find the little bitty book of Haggai. It's one of my favorites. But let's see what's going on. Okay, Haggai possibly delivering this message on the temple site. Verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, he's the governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. So here you've got your key leaders mentioned in verse 1. It's the first day of the month. It's a holy day to the Lord. And so they're gathered together, and then Haggai stands up, and he's going to deliver this message. Look at verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. It's interesting, as Haggai starts out, he says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. He had respect and honor for God. The Lord Almighty is giving you this message. This is not from me, it's from Him. He uses the term, these people. God is not real happy with what's been going on here. For 14 years, not a whole lot's been going on this temple. And so, in delivering this message through Haggai, he says, these people. He doesn't say, my people. He does that many times, but not here. God's a little upset. He's not happy with what has been going on. These people say, the time has not come for the Lord's house to be built. Oh, the Lord. These people are telling me it's not time for my house to be built. Well, what's the problem? And there were some problems. I can tell you, they faced political problems. We know from the book of Ezra, and we've got a number of individuals all together here dealing with trying to rebuild the wall, the temple, and a number of things. And there were economic problems. There were political problems. We're going to see some of the economic problems within this chapter. The other issue is the people had been focused on their projects and not on God's projects. It happens. You want to build your little house, your shelter, and you want to improve it. But 14 years later? All right, let's see what he says. Verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Haggai does this a number of times. Every time he delivers a message, he's going to say, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. One of the things I appreciate about Haggai is he made sure we knew and that all the people knew that this is not my word, this is God's word. And we need to take heed to it. We need to follow it. So, you know, as we begin just looking at these 15 verses this morning, if we look at these first three verses, I'd like to just plant a thought in your mind that Haggai made sure the people there understood, and us today, we need to understand, it's this. Do you believe that the Bible is God's Word? See, Haggai makes sure they understand this, and every time we go through these four dated messages, he's going to labor this point. You got to start somewhere, and you need to start the place believing, is the Bible God's Word? Is what is recorded here God's message to me? That's a struggle for some people. It really is. There are people that do not believe that. And I've done some series in the past where we've talked about this. And we've talked about how can you know that this is God's Word. And we've talked about fulfilled prophecy. We've talked about the unity of the Scripture. We've talked about a number of things. But at the beginning of this whole series, you're going to have to start with the whole belief that this is God's Word. That His Word is contained in the Bible for us. That it is relevant and practical for today. You've got to start there. All right, let's keep going. Let's see what he says. In verse 4, folks, there's going to be a little smoke here. Verse 4. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Haggai said, you know what? God says you're living in your paneled houses and this house is just a basic little foundation on the ground. That's all Haggai said. But you know what? The people understood. Paneled house. What is a paneled house? Well, a paneled house at least has a roof on it. But probably it refers to more than that. It refers to ongoing decoration, ongoing expansion of a house would be contained within that word. And so when Haggai said, how come you're dwelling in your paneled houses and look at this house? It's just got a little foundation and that foundation's been there for 14 years. Interesting what he's doing. As he begins, he begins by challenging their priorities. They've managed, amidst all the economic, political problems, to get their houses built, but God's house wasn't. How is it that they managed to do all that, but yet God's house is just basically in ruins still? And he starts out by challenging their priorities. Verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. He's saying here, evaluate what's going on in your life. 6. You planted much, but you have harvested little. For an agricultural society, that would be key. They planted a whole bunch, but they don't harvest very much. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but they're not warm. You earn wages only to put them into a purse with holes in it. And he uses a number of little illustrations here to say, you know what? Your houses are done. God's house is a mess. But look what's going on in your lives. You planted much, but you're not harvesting much. You're thirsty. Your money doesn't go that far. The idea of a bag with holes in it, it falls through the holes, goes onto the ground. You can't keep it. And he's using some very practical things. God's will for them at this point is to build what? The temple. That was his will in 536. It was his will in 534 when they stopped. And now it's 520 and they still haven't done it. They have not done God's will. And God is challenging their priorities, saying, you've not done this. What's going on? Well, let's look at another thought. On your outline, second thought here. Do you follow God's will when it's hard? Do you follow God's will? Now, this was a hard situation. There were many problems, many obstacles, many things they had to overcome. Yet they were not accomplishing them. Some people would say, well, you know what? When it gets a little bit hard or difficult, it can't be God's will. Now, where in the Bible does it say that? Where does it say that? You look at so many stories in the Old Testament especially. God's will is tough and hard and difficult at times. It just is to accomplish it because we're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil all along the way. That's not how you evaluate God's will. When something is difficult does not mean it's not God's will for you. It might not be, but it's not. Some people, and these people were saying, you know what? It got a little tough. It got a little difficult. So we did our own house. We did our own priorities. And God, your house is looking like that. God wasn't happy. He was actually probably a little stronger than I am today. But that's the message that was being delivered. Do you follow God's will when it's hard and difficult? When God has spoken clearly, and we try and do that through practical application here week after week, and God says do this, and you know it's going to be hard, you need to do it. Because God's will call for some tough, difficult things for you to accomplish. It just will. These people didn't. They had not built a building in 14 years. Now, you know what? I can understand maybe a year or two, but 14? 14 años? That's forever. Come on, 14 years? They could have built it with spoons. My goodness. 14 years. All right, a couple of thoughts in, just as Haggai starts in. You need to understand, this is God's word. Number two, you need to understand that God's will call for some tough times, difficult times. You need to follow it. Now, what is so good about this story is God steps in again and says, here's how you can make it right. Here's what you can do to straighten this problem out. Look with me at verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. And now he tells them what they can do. Go up into the mountains, bring down timber, and build the house so I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Here's what you got to do. Go, bring, and build. Go on up there, grab the necessary materials that we need, bring them down here, and build my house. That's what you need to do in this circumstance, in this situation, to receive my blessing, to do what is right. And then he goes back and forth here. Look at verse 9. Hey, here's what's happening. Remember, though, you expected much from your crops and your produce, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, now this is an amazing verse. What are the next three words? I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his what? Own house. God says, I'm withholding blessing. There's a verse in the Bible where it says God withholds blessing. This is it. He says, what you brought home, I blew it away. Kind of an interesting picture and description. Sorry about that in the front row, guys. He said, I blew it away. I'm withholding my blessing from you because you're not doing my will. There's some amazing little thoughts you can derive from these verses. And then he says, you know what? Your priorities are wrong. Your priorities are ahead of mine because I look around. I see your houses with paneled houses with roofs and ongoing expansion. And look at mine. It's just a little brick wall on the ground. While each of you finishes your projects ahead of mine. All right, verse 10. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. And obviously, for water, dew is very important to them. I called for a drought. Now listen to this. God is going on. I called for a drought on the fields, the mountains, the grain, the wine, the oil, whatever the ground produces, on men, cattle, and on the labor of your hands. He says, you know what? I'm the one withholding blessing. You're struggling, and I can tell you why. Because I, God, am withholding it because your priorities are ahead of my priorities. That's the message. that Haggai delivered, what, 2,500 years ago. Now, folks, this message lives today. It just does. All right. So what did the people do? Let's look what the people did, because this is really important. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the, what? Whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had, what, sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord to the people. He said, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came out and what? Read this with me. Began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. They obeyed. I love this. The people were challenged with the message, and they're looking, and as they're hearing this message, they're thinking of their own houses and their own homes. And they're thinking of all the work that has taken place, and Haggai's just saying, look at my house, look at God's house, and look at your house. Look at what's going on in your life. Look at how God is withholding blessing from you, and see what's happened to his house. And what's so good is the people responded. They responded by saying, you know, we're going to do this. And so they probably put together a couple of details. We'll know the next message is a couple weeks later, maybe a month later. And the people have gathered the materials, they've brought them down, and they've begun the work on the temple and began to do this great work of rebuilding the temple, which is now, what, 16 years later. 16 years later. All right. On the sign out in front, it says, who are you looking out for? Who are you looking out for? And it comes down to, in our lives, many different times, we're going to have to evaluate our priorities and things like that. You know what? It's not a problem. Let me say a couple things to work on your own house. That's okay. Let me ask you something, though, to evaluate your work on your own house in relation to how you give and serve to God's house. Put that in perspective. What are you giving to God's work? How are you serving in God's work? That would be, I think, a fairly close equivalent. How much money have you spent on your house in the last year, and how much have you given to God's work? Uh-oh, now I'm meddling. But it's the truth. If you want me to teach God's word, that is what is going on in this passage. That is what's taking place. Are you tipping God? Or are you giving faithfully and sacrificially to God's work? God knows. He said, I blew it away. I know what's going on in your life. And he said, I have withheld blessing. The great thing about this passage is he said, come, build, give, serve, and I will bless you. That's what it says. All right. Here's what needs to take place. I think. On your outline, the last little box is this. Our commitment needs to become, at this point and forward, we need to what? Evaluate our priorities. That's what Haggai called them to do. You're in your paneled houses, God's house is in ruins. You need to evaluate your priorities, and the reality is you need to put God in the what? Highest place. The highest place. That's where this message lives today. We need to evaluate our priorities and put God in the highest place. We've been talking about this as a group of leaders for about, it's at least 6 months, probably closer to 9 months now. And what we are doing this fall is putting something together called Building for Life. Building for Life is a 40-day campaign. 40 days we're going to begin in about 3 more weeks. And for 40 days, I'm going to ask you to do some things as a church family. We're going to take steps to make our commitment deeper to God, to help us to evaluate our priorities and put God in the highest place. We're going to read through the New Testament together. Amen? 40 days, you're going to read through the New Testament. I'm going to do it with you. A couple years ago, we did something similar to this, and I cheated. I started ahead of you. I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to start on the same day you did. We're going to spend time doing that. We're going to have a ministry fair. Evaluate your priorities and put God in the highest place. We need some places of ministry where people can step in and help us. You always are going to need that, but we need to reemphasize some of those. We're going to do that. We're going to have evangelistic outreach within that 40 days. We're going to do a harvest party here, and we've already started plans for that around Halloween. We're going to have a banquet together as a church. We're going to celebrate together what God has done, and we're going to talk about the future. And over the next month to 6 weeks, you're going to start hearing about priorities to make God's house the higher priority. And so what we have done together as a leadership team is we've come up with about half a dozen projects that will impact everybody in the church, that will improve our facility. Instead of the church being the saddest looking building in the community, it shouldn't be. And the problem is we kind of get used to it that way. You know, when I came here and I said, you know what? We're going to have to do something about this because it's not right. And this book, Haggai, is the foundation of biblical truth for this. And so, you know what? We've made some steps. We have a parking lot out there, and I had lunch with some folks that had never come to this church until last week. And they said, we remember this church, and what you guys have done is great. I said, you ain't seen nothing yet. We're going to keep going. And so what we want to do, I'm just not in great detail, but we would like to expand the parking lot that way and double our parking. We need to do that. We need to improve this room. You know what, folks? It bothers me when there's stains on the floor like this. This is God's house. Do you have stains all over the floor at your house? All right, you shouldn't. It does, though. You know what I mean. In the back there, the entryway, it looks terrible. The problem is we get used to it, and we accept it. No. One of the plans is to redo the carpeting in this complete auditorium. Another one has to do with doing a different kind of seating in here. That would be one. That would affect all of us. One of the things we want to do as our children's work continues to grow is to make their area a nice area. Maybe move them out of these buildings back here, move them into that building there, and yet redo all the buildings, all the rooms inside that building. We've got air conditioning in there now. I was just over there. Where's Bill? Bill and I were just over there, and the heat was going for some reason this morning, and like a sauna in there. And I said, this is terrible. Well, we got the heat off, but you know what? It's not good enough. It's not. God would not be pleased. He wouldn't. This is not a guilt trip to throw on you, but it's a challenging of our priorities together. Maybe we need to do something. In the offices, the toilet broke. Actually, the line below the toilet broke because of the building's age. And we could jackhammer and tear the whole place apart, but I don't want to do that. You know what? I've had people come to visit me as a pastor of this church, and I have to send them down to the bathroom that's in this building. No good. I'm embarrassed. It's bad. Kind of funny, but it's bad, you know? And so, one of the things we've talked about is, depending on timing and working with all this, this building back here, changing it into new offices, and to use some of the existing offices as adult classrooms, and to make some plans that would coordinate where we do some of that in children's, and expand and improve that area. These are things that we've been praying about and seeking God about, and we will be presenting them to you. The idea is to not make God's house the end of the line, but to bring God's house up and improve it. We want to continue to do some work around the property with fencing, landscape, things like that. It's all being discussed. It just takes a while to get to it. We need to do what Haggai is challenging us to do. We need to make this church, our church, a higher priority. And in order to do that, we need to have people that will give and people that will serve. And so you can be part of the team because God wants you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I can say it that way. I'm going to have Val come up. There's a song that she's going to do. And she's saying the same thing, just a little differently.
It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me.
Thank you, Lord, that you included in your words, in your book, a message from an older man, through an older man, that challenged their priorities. God, we admit that in looking at their temple and looking at our temple, we have a ways to go. Lord, I thank you for the leaders of this church who have a heart to see this campus improved for your glory and for your honor. Not only that, so that we can draw people. Lord, I thank you so much for the past 3 years, those who have sacrificially gave above and beyond their normal giving to make that parking lot a reality, to help us do work across the front of this church, buy sound equipment, to replace air conditioning units, all kinds of things, Lord. Thank you for your blessing in their lives. Lord, as we head into a new chapter now, really almost with a new group of people, we begin this 40 days in a couple of weeks, that it would be life-changing for us, that we'll walk closer to you, that we'll understand that commitment to you is much more than just saying something, it is action. Lord, I thank you for the way in which you gave instruction, but you also gave blessing. Lord, we anticipate blessing from you. Thank you, Lord, that we can give, and we do that gratefully. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.